May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
Thank you.
our readings from the Word of God, two portions this evening. The first one is Psalm 32, and then Isaiah chapter 32. The 32nd Psalm. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 32. Isaiah, the 32nd chapter. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail, The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be dens for ever. A joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, how we do need thee now to breathe into our heart a breath of real prayer. Lord, thou knowest how we have each gathered at this evening hour. We pray thou wilt draw us away from the carking cares of this world, the many things that have occupied our minds in the past hours of this day, Lord, and that we may have our hearts and our affections set on things above, where Christ sitteth. O Lord, as we've been favoured with the sunshine in the earth in the last part of this day, we pray that we may know in our souls the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Oh, do come near, Lord, and draw us to thy dear feet. We would pray with the spouse of old, draw me. We will run after thee. Oh, may we know the sweet drawings of thy love. We pray that thou wilt favour us with thy sweet presence within these walls this evening, and may we feel it and know it in our hearts, Lord. Oh, that thou wilt speak to our never-dying souls. We would come pleading the precious name of Jesus, the name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, may it please thee to open the windows of heaven and to pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, even this night, if it be thy holy will. We would come, Lord, humbly to thy feet in humble confession of our many, many sins. Oh, we would be found mourning and weeping over our sins and our iniquities, and come begging for mercy. We would come with the dear poet when he said, "Mercy, through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me." No, we pray to be washed in that precious fountain that's open for sin and uncleanness, the fountain of thy precious blood. Oh, may we know its sweet cleansing power, and all the sins that weigh us down be removed. We may know our pardon signed, our peace procured. O Lord, may we be clothed in thy glorious righteousness. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt grant to us a true, real religion that thou dost give to thy people. May we not just rest on our chapel going or a name of religion, a husk of it. But oh, may we be given that heavenly diligence to make our calling and election sure. Oh, we pray for real things, Lord, those real tokens of thy love. Those real blessings from heaven. Oh, that our prayers may be real. Lord, oh, how we need thee to indite that real prayer in us. One sad wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest strait. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. God, who help us, Lord, to commit our way to thee, to cast all our cares upon thee. And oh, that thou wouldst manage all for us by the way and to the end. May we have that singleness of eye, Lord, that eye of faith, to look wholly to the dear Redeemer, that our eyes might look right on and our eyelids straight before us. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, that we may truly believe, even to the saving of our souls. May we have that faith to Lord, we pray for faith to believe. Lord, that thou hast said in thy word, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May we be amongst those diligent seekers, dear Lord. We pray for grace that we might endure to the end. And how we need, Lord, those fresh supplies of grace. And oh, may grace abound in us. And may it be so manifested, Lord, that we're under the influence of thy grace. Oh, keep us from the influence of the flesh and of our carnal mind. Keep us from all the influence, Lord, of Satan and this world and all the hellish crew. But oh, may we be real, earnest seekers of the living God of heaven. We pray, dear Lord, to be led by thy Spirit, that we continually need thee to lead us and to teach us. We seek for grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. Oh, may we ever be at thy feet as nothing, humbled in the dust. O precious Jesus, the one thing that is needful. Oh, do come this night, Lord, and meet the cases of thy dear people. Oh, may the hungry be fed with living bread. Oh, may the thirsty draw from those blessed wells of salvation. Thirsty sinner, come and draw. And those, O Lord, that are cast down, oh, do lift them up. And those, Lord, that feel so helpless, they need thy help, Lord. Oh, do come and be their helper. And hear the cries, Lord, that go forth, Lord, help me. And oh, that we may continually be pleading it. We realise, Lord, how helpless we are. But oh, we would be found looking to thee, who art the helper of the helpless. Remember those, Lord, in weakness and affliction. We pray for strength to be given and healing mercies if it's thy will. And oh, that thou wouldst prepare us each for that great day of death and a vast eternity. Oh, may we be found in Christ. May we be like dear Noah and safely shut in the ark. Oh Lord, we need thee to prepare us for that great day. Oh, that thou wouldst assure us, Lord, that it is well with us while life endureth, and well when called to die. Oh, that we may be like the wise virgins and be ready, waiting for thy coming. We remember those in old age and weakness. We pray for one unable to be with us now, Lord, who for many years has been here. Do be with her in the home where she is. And others, Lord, in great age and weakness. We pray that thou wilt reveal thyself to them as their Saviour, their Redeemer, their all and in all. O Lord, who take away the fears of death from all those that are fearful of that great day. And oh, that we may be favoured to feel and to know that the eternal God is our refuge, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. Remember, dear Lord, those that have heavy burdens, who help them to cast them upon Thee, and many in middle age, and many that have many things to exercise them, and burden them, and concern them. We pray Thou wilt make bare Thine arm, work for them and in them. And oh, may they be enabled to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. And remember, Lord, the dear young ones, the dear young people, to guide them and direct them and help them to look to Thee for everything. Keep them from the attractions and snares of this world. May there be raised up from among them those that shall be useful in Zion in their day and generation. May Thy blessing be poured upon them. Be with those that hope to marry shortly. We pray for David and Sarah, Lord, that Thou wilt be with them on the day of their marriage, and grant Thy smile and blessing upon it, and be with them in their future pathway together. May they prove the thing proceedeth from the Lord. And we pray for each of the young ones, Lord, the dear little ones and the dear children. Lord, who preserve them and watch over them in these evil days, and keep them from the snares of this world and the many dangers there are. And may it please Thee to put in their heart Thy fear and Thy grace in early days. They may bear the yoke in their youth. Lord, hear the prayers of their parents and give them wisdom and grace in the bringing up of their offspring. Remember the deacons and help them in all their burdens and concerns and great weights, Lord. And we pray that Thou wilt bless the hymns they give out, that they may prove to be Thy choice and made a blessing to Thy people. And to add to the church precious souls, if it would please Thee, those such as should be saved. And may it please Thee, Lord, to remove all that hinders. And there may be those enabled to say, as Abraham's servant did, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way." Do call by grace any that know Thee not, and oh, do awaken in this village, if it's Thy will, many sinners round to come and fill the place. Bring back the prodigals, Lord. Many have forsaken Zion's ways over the years. Thou knowest where they are, Lord. They're not out of the reaches of Thy hand. If it would please Thee, oh, do work, that there may be yet a blessed returning of many prodigals. And oh, we pray for Zion still, and especially for our own flock, that there may be a revival of real vital things, and Thy name honoured and glorified. To help Thy dear servants and anoint them to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And remember in mercy this nation, Lord. Knowest the evils that abound, the wickedness that runs down our streets. We beg of thee to hear the cries of thy people over the abominations done in the land. And may we be turned as a nation from serving Satan to serve thee, the only true God. May thy grace and fear be put in our Queen and the royal family and our Prime Minister and those in government, that they may turn to thee for all that they need in all the affairs of this nation and in all that concerns them. Remember all thy persecuted ones and all those, Lord, that in war and troubles and conflicts and many in famine. We beg of thee to make bare thine arm and work. And oh, we would praise thee for all thy great mercies that are countless as the sand that daily we receive. And we would bless thy holy name for the wonders of redeeming love. Do be with us and anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. And grant a true spirit of hearing to thy people. And oh, do so apply thy word with power, that it may have a blessed effect in the hearts and lives of thy children. Lord, as the benefit is ours, may all the glory be thine. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss, all our many sins. Help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 874. Lord, if with thee part I bear, if I through thy word am clean, in thy mercy if I share, if thy blood has purged my sin, to my needy soul impart thy good spirit from above, to enrich my barren heart with humility and love. Hymn 874.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Isaiah chapter 32 and the second verse. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 32 and the second verse. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. It's really upon the first clause, really, that we want to base our remarks as help this evening. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. This word seemed to drop into my heart very sweetly early this morning. As I woke, there was a sweet verse that dropped into my heart, and immediately after the verse, this text seemed to rest upon me. And the verse was this: should storms of sevenfold thunder roll and shake the globe from pole to pole, no flaming bolt could daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. And in a moment, this text dropped in, particularly this first part of it: and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. Now, there are many winds that blow against the Lord's dear redeemed children. And so often the Lord sends these winds to bring them to seek a hiding place. You see, by nature, we go along and we feel no need of a hiding place for our souls, until the Lord brings us to feel that need of a hiding place. And it's a wonderful thing the Lord has provided, isn't it? A blessed hiding place for his dear people, where they can hide. Is your prayer like the dear hymn writer when he said, "Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last." Is that your prayer, and is it mine? Do you feel, and do I tonight, where the Lord is the witness, whether we truly need a hiding place? But what about these winds? Now let me as help to name a few. Firstly, the great wind of sin. It's carrying many down to endless perdition in hell. Solemn thought, isn't it? If you and I enter into eternity carried by that wind of sin and never brought to seek a hiding place. You know, when the Lord brought home to the publican what that great wind of sin was and the result of it would be if he died in it, eternal perdition. Where did he flee? To Jesus as his hiding place. He couldn't go anywhere else, could he? There's no other place of safety, is there? And when you think of that great wind of God's wrath that was poured out when the great flood came, many were plunged into eternity. But oh, what a wonderful provision the Lord had made, a hiding place for dear Noah and his favoured few. It didn't matter how great that wind of God's wrath was, there was a blessed hiding place to shelter. And it was, the ark was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. Because in that ark was complete safety. I love that word where it says, the Lord shut him in. The hymn writer said, didn't he, Jehovah shut him in. And oh, how he could shelter there. No matter how great the tempest was, or the wrath of God being poured out because of sin, he was safe. And may it be the urgent and earnest desire of each of us tonight, because eternity draws on apace and none can say how nigh, to seek this hiding place that's set forth in our text, and a man shall be as an hiding place from that great wind of sin and from God's eternal wrath. And you know, there's only one place where you can hide, sinner. And that's in the dear Redeemer himself. This blessed man, who is it speaking of? The Holy Spirit here, and a man, that man, Christ Jesus. We sing in the hymn, don't we? A man, there is a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. And there's your safety, sinner, in him. And a man, this glorious man. Oh, think of what the hymn writer said. This glorious man, thy peace shall be. And the only way you'll have that peace is being found in this hiding place. Sheltering safely there. We sing in the hymn, don't we? All my safety is in thee. And you know, the more we are taught by the Holy Spirit how wretched and vile and sinful we are, and that sin rages within us, the more we shall feel the need of this hiding place. And the reason you feel it and feel the need of this hiding place is because the Lord has given you life in your soul to make you feel the sin, the need of him, and the need of his precious sin atoning blood. And a man shall be as an hiding place. You think of dear David, you know, he's been with me much today, thinking of the dear man, you know. how the Lord brought Nathan to him to say, "Thou art the man." And oh, how guilty he felt before a holy God as a poor, vile sinner. Where could he flee? Only to the dear Redeemer and to his wounded side. I love that couplet of the hymn, "Sheltering in his wounded side till all the dangers of life and of death be overpast." And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. And then think of the great wind of Satan. You see, the devil has great power. Many are carried along by him, by that great wind. But with the exercised child of God, they will know what it is to feel the necessity of this hiding place from the great wind of Satan. He's a mighty foe, you see, and he'll do all he can to try and overthrow God's work in you and the blessings the Lord has given you, the promises he's given you. And he'll do all he can to try and destroy you, like he did with Job. And you think of dear Job, how wonderful it was the Lord had provided for dear Job a blessed hiding place. And what did he say? "I know." He didn't say, "I think," or "perhaps it's so." "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And how did he know that? Because the Lord had revealed to him that he was his Redeemer. The only place Job could hide from all the onslaughts of Satan. And oh, when you see the devastation of the wind, like in the hurricane, was it 1987, and I remember we went to Sussex and for a few days break, and the hurricane struck, particularly in the southeast, and the massive trees that were uprooted and the great power of the storm. And some of you may have known what it is to shelter when the wind has been so great, even naturally, like it was then. And think of the great wind of Satan. Do we not need that hiding place to shelter from his onslaughts? Maybe one here tonight, that the adversary seems to attack you on all sides. Think how he attacked the Lord Jesus. Even to quote the holy word of God, "It is written." And so crafty is the adversary, you see. You continually blow against the child of God, trying to destroy them. But you see, if you're in this hiding place, poor soul, he may buffet you. He may shake you from side to side many times like a ship in the ocean. But he can never destroy them that are sheltering in the dear Redeemer. And a man shall be as an hiding place. And oh, I felt when this text dropped in so sweetly, I felt, "Lord, do put me in that hiding place if thou hast not already." It creates such a longing, you see, in your soul, and particularly when you're battered by the winds of Satan on every side. Going back to David, you think how many times he had to shelter during his life, even in a natural way. He had to shelter from the onslaughts of the Philistines. They were mighty foes against him, and they would have destroyed him if they'd had their way, breathing out all threatenings and slaughter. But they couldn't, could they? Why? Because he got a blessed shelter he could hide in, and that was the dear Redeemer himself. A hiding place. And then you think too of how Saul hunted him as a partridge upon the mountains. You go to Scotland and see how they hunt partridge on a mountain. They give them no rest, determined to fire at them. And that's just how Saul was, and the word of God declares it, how he was hunted as a partridge upon the mountains, trying to destroy dear David. But he couldn't, could he? David had got a blessed hiding place where he could shelter. And there's a wonderful shelter for sinners in that precious blood of Jesus. It's one of the safest places the sinner can be, sheltering under that blood. But I'll come to that in a moment. And then you think how many times through his life the enemies of David were so great. And then even the trial with Absalom, the solemn issue with him. Oh, what a storm it was, a tempest. But you know, none could destroy David's hope, the grace that was given him. None could destroy his never-dying soul. The Lord was his hiding place. And well could he write, and this is why we read together this evening that beautiful 32nd Psalm. And in it he speaks of how the Lord had blotted out all his transgression and his sin. Oh, the sheltering place, the hiding place he had. And well could he say, as we read in verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place." There was no doubt in David's heart about this. It wasn't presumption. It was faith viewing the safety there was in his dear Redeemer as his hiding place. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Some of you may be hounded by Satan, tempted sore, and what a trouble it is to you. And can you not say with David tonight, "Thou shalt preserve me from trouble"? And then he doesn't leave it there. Faith looks out of it all. And he was able to say, "Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." He believed the day would come when he would praise the Lord as his blessed hiding place, where he could shelter from all the storm. I remember, and it came back, it's in that hymn I named just now, 134, you know, it's a beautiful hymn. I remember it being sung in the old chapel at Chatham in my teenage days, and you know, I've never forgot it. Oh, how sweet and real it was. Hail, sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. You know, in this hymn is the real experience of every true-born child of God. Against the God who rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. And that's just how we are by nature, isn't it? Our old pride creeps in, oh no, we can manage without a hiding place. That's how man's heart is by nature. But look at what he goes on to say. But thus the eternal counsel ran, almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. And you know, when you're brought there, poor soul, maybe under God's holy law, oh, how the sinner trembles, failing to have no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view, to shiny eyes' fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. He couldn't shelter there, could he? Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared. And then listen, she led me on with placid peace, where to Jesus as my hiding place. Should storms of sevenfold thunder roll and shake the globe from pole to pole, no flaming bolt could daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. And then the dear hymn writer leads the sinner. Mr. Brewer wonderfully leads the sinner by the Spirit to a precious Jesus. On what he endured at Calvary, on him almighty vengeance fell, that must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a chosen race, and thus became their hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me on fair Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the songs of grace and see my glorious hiding place. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. You think of the dear disciples when they were battered in the sea by the tempest, by the storm. There was only one place of safety, and that was the dear Redeemer. And how he stilled the sea, stilled the wind, and gave them safe peace through it all. It was all in Christ, you see. In him, poor soul, as your hiding place, is everything you need, both for time and for eternity. This glorious man, the man Christ Jesus. But then, of course, there are the winds of trouble that come upon the real child of God. And when I say trouble, there are various forms of trouble that the sinner will have to pass through. There are troubles in their soul which no man sees, but it's all seen by the Lord. There are those tonight that are troubled about your never dying soul, and all this trouble's within you. Lord, it's my soul. It's all this sin within me. It's all this unbelief within me. The troubles there are inwardly. The troubled whether your prayers are real. Troubled whether you're really born again. Troubled whether you really know the Lord. But oh, poor soul, what a wind it is, isn't it? And you can't stop it. You know, when the wind blows, and I thought about today as we walked around Anglesey Abbey Gardens and the wind was blowing, I thought, you know, no man can stop that wind. Well, you can see it in America with all the storms and the wind and other places throughout the earth and the devastation. No man can stop that wind. And when these winds come in your heart and in your pathway, you cannot stop them, can you? You may do all in your power. Man, with all the knowledge and technology of today, cannot stop that wind blowing when God sends it. And when the hurricanes come or the storms, no man can stop them. We may do all we can to try and hide ourselves and those involved from them. But you know, we cannot stop them. And when trouble comes in your poor heart, you can't stop it, can you, poor soul? But there's one that you can flee to hide from that storm. And that's in the dear Redeemer. This glorious man named in our text. And then, of course, there are the troubles of providence in the pathway. When you read back of some of our godly forefathers, you know, of all the providential troubles they came into. You read Mr. Gadsby's book of his life and those of his, many of his congregation. You know, they lived, many of them, in the depths of poverty. And all the troubles they came into. What does the hymn writer say? Did ever trouble yet before, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou shalt overcome at last? And how can you overcome? Through this glorious man being your hiding place. You look at the troubles Jacob had, but you look how precious the Lord Jesus was made to him. And then go back to Job and all the troubles he walked through, how precious the dear Lord Jesus was made to him. What did Jacob say on his dying bed? Oh, think of the trouble he endured from Esau and those 400 men against him. And how the Lord came and blessed him there. A blessing he never forgot. And on his dying bed he says to the sons of Joseph, the angel. And who was that angel? None other than the Lord Jesus himself. Which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. You know, he had a beautiful view, he did, of the dear Lord Jesus by faith as his hiding place. The 400 men of Esau couldn't touch him, could they? Nor could Esau. Why? Because the Lord was his hiding place, sheltering him from the storm, from all the trouble. And the same applied with Job. You know, some of the deepest of troubles, the Lord can so sanctify and make them the place of real blessing. Oh, he can. One looks back personally, not that we want to speak of personal things, but, you know, some of the deepest troubles we've had to come into have been made so sweet. The Lord will balance the cloud, you see. There'll be the trouble, but, oh, poor soul, you've got a place where you can hide. That'll outweigh it all. When trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh how good. And you know, if you have a taste of that loving kindness, it'll melt the hardest part of your heart. Oh, it will. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. And then there are the winds of affliction that come. We cannot stop them. And when I say affliction, I mean affliction of soul, affliction of body, affliction of mind. Wherever you find the word affliction in God's word, it meant trouble. The word affliction was so often used. But oh, you think of this glorious man, the afflictions he endured. And what a make the afflictions you have and I have sweet. There'll be a glimpse of him in all his afflictions. What do we read? In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he carried them all the days of old as their hiding place. But then there is the wind of unbelief. You know, we live in a day where so many don't believe there is a God, and they're carried by the wind of unbelief. And they're continuing that, and so will you, and so will I, unless the Lord comes and reveals himself as our hiding place from that wind. But you see, oh, the unbelief there is in our hearts. Terrible wind against us. Think of what dear Mr. Cowper said in that beautiful hymn 320. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. And he does, doesn't he? And oh, how often we are carried by the wind of unbelief. Doubts arise. You know, there is an element of people that think, oh, you know, they rest in their doubts. There's no salvation in doubting. It's a sin. Doubting is. But we need to be kept from it, and we need to flee to this blessed hiding place from that wind of unbelief, which is so sure to err. And dear Mr. Cowper could write that from experience, but God is his own interpreter. And he will make it plain. And there may be one here tonight that the Lord can sweep away that unbelief, like he did with the dear man in Mark chapter 9, when he brought his son to the Lord Jesus. And what did he say? if thou canst do anything. Remember, he was coming to the Son of God, who had all power in heaven and in earth. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. We know the desire was real. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But think of that if, you see, that preceded, if thou canst do anything. In other words, there was doubting whether he would. And what did Jesus do? He took that if and he put it back on the dear man's head. And what did he say to the dear man? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And immediately he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The Lord, you know, can remove all that unbelief in a moment from your poor heart. Oh, he can. By giving you a grain of faith. And that's what he did to the dear man. And a man shall be, and hide in place. He didn't say, the Holy Spirit didn't say, well, he may be, or you do this or do that, as professors of religion would say, then he'll be your hiding place. Oh no, there's a wonderful certainty here, and this is what I love so about the Word of God. The old preachers used to say it's full of eternal certainties. And when you read through from Genesis to Revelations, how many times do you find the Lord said, I will do this, I shall do this. And when he says he shall, or when he says he will, the hymn writer said, those shalls and wills are firm as the everlasting hills. And they are. These wonderful certainty. Now, to one poor tempted sinner tonight, the Lord may speak this word to you. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. He shall be. There's no doubt about it. Just as he was with Noah. In providing the ark. Just as he was with the publican. Bringing him to flee to Christ, the hiding place from all his sin. Like he was to the dying thief. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, the certainty. And you may say, oh, if only I could feel that, if only I could believe that. You plead the Lord will enable you to, poor soul. Because nothing is too hard for him. And then it may be that you may have enemies at work or at school. Then there are the enemies of our own heart, aren't they? Oh, to flee to this hiding place from all the enemies that attack us. Whether they be the world, whether they be professors of religion, or whether they be God's people left to themselves. And you know, that's a very solemn thing when that is so. I remember dear Mr. Sperling Tyler preaching from that about a man's enemies. And I shall never forget how searchingly he laid that point out. It can be a child of God left to themselves. But you see, oh, to have this hiding place where you can shelter from all those enemies, whether within or without. And then he goes further, but I can't, because of the time, look at that, and I'll leave it for your meditation, and I've only scratched around the surface of it tonight. The man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now this is what the Lord promised concerning the glorious coming of the dear Redeemer. And oh, may we, each one of us personally, have him as our hiding place through life, and he'll be the hiding place, poor soul, when you come to die. That blessed rock of ages. Dear Mr. Toplady could shelter there, couldn't he, till the storm was past. And look at it spiritually. This is what you're being able to do till all the days of our life be ended, and we can shelter in him with the sweet hope of joining that everlasting song and crowning him Lord of all in glory.
God willing, Mr. Jabez Rupp will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 352. The moon and stars shall lose their light, the sun shall sink in endless night, both heaven and earth shall pass away, the works of nature all decay. But they that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpast, stand every storm, and live at last. Hymn 352.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little at abides. Oh, do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.